This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The Black Friday and July event from Dell Technologies is here with great offers on trusted technology. You'll also discover huge deals on new AI-ready laptops like the Dell 14 Plus, featuring Intel Core Ultra processors starting at $699.99. Save on top accessories, plus enjoy fast, free shipping and other benefits. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Miami Dolphins clearly feel that Ramsey's departure is an addition by subtraction.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Steelers radio network host and longtime chronicler of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jerry Dulac, back in the program.
You know, if they're on the back nine of their career, to me, they're putting out on the 12th green.
Today's guests, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick, actor Brian Baumgartner, Oklahoma City Thunder center Isaiah Hartenstein. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, live also on this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 375, Odyssey app, and more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Already phone lines are lit. We appreciate that, certainly, since so many of you might be just chilling out on your summer vacations or tapping out for the 4th of July weekend early, or just doing what you normally do, which is taking in this program however you take it. We appreciate that. We've got three guests on tap. Sam Amick of The Athletic is going to join us to tell us what's going on in the NBA. He was the one who informed us Damian Lillard was elated with being stretched and cut by the Milwaukee Bucks. And obviously, we're waiting for other shoes to drop in the new league year of the NBA. Today's action, not as intense as yesterday's, but Sam will be joining us on this program. Isaiah Hartenstein of the now freshly minted NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder will be chilling with us. I don't know if his baby will be as well. We'll see if we're going to Zoom with a toddler. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Certainly, before Brian Baumgartner joins us in studio, I'm going to be hanging with Brian all next week at the American Century Championship. Brian is a veteran of that celebrity event. I am going to be appearing for the first time in 21 years there. Maybe I'll finally replace the divots from the last time I was there. Brian will be here in studio hanging out here in the second hour. So there's you, as I mentioned. Give us a call. We've got tons of time to take your calls. I've got a power rankings list here on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I know you guys love power rankings. Yes, I've got the top 10 non-quarterbacks in the National Football League. What we call food for thought. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brocklin.
Rich.
How are you?
Great to see you, man. I'm awesome.
Jay Felly, Jason Feller, hey. In that spot. Is Mike already on the boat? Are you here all the rest of this week?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
I got the first 3-day week.
Mike's already on the boat. Mike's already on the boat. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Candles lit over there?
Yeah, always.
Very good. Terrific.
No.
You know what? There's controversy in the air in Western Pennsylvania. I don't think there is any, but if you just Google TJ Watt's name right now, everything is basically, he's gone. What are the best landing spots for TJ Watt? And, you know, the best landing spots for TJ Watt are the same best landing spots we once upon a time had for Devontae Adams when he was supposedly on the move. Myles Garrett when he was supposedly on the move. The top five, if you will, landing spots for TJ Watt is your team. That's the top five landing spots.
Right.
Name me a team in the National Football League including the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are the best landing spots for TJ Watt, which is why he's going nowhere. I keep telling everybody, this is what we call a negotiation that apparently isn't close to resolution right now. We had Jerry Dulac on this program, sitting there in Western Pennsylvania. He's got some ins with the organization. He definitely knows what's going on there. He talks to a lot of people within that building. And he said that he thinks this is going to go into training camp, which is not great for Steelers fans, because you're going to be on pins and needles thinking, is this really going to go in a certain direction that's not him coming back? And it's not great for TJ Watt, because I'm sure he'll be on pins and needles, and there'll be times where he's really pissed because this isn't getting done to the manner of his liking, which is, according to Jerry, the highest paid non-quarterback in the National Football League. And we all know who that individual who currently sits in that perch. His name is Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett with $40 million a year, and TJ Watt, who is going to turn 31 years of age in October of this year, is a guy that, as Jerry said a couple of times in the conversation, the Steelers saw a slight drop-off in productivity from him, or at least burst, or at least a little bit showing that he's on, made the turn in his football career. I'm sure if TJ Watt heard that, or anybody named Watt heard that, they wouldn't take very kindly to that evaluation. And so there were reports that come out that there are teams calling for TJ Watt. There are teams interested in TJ Watt, to which I say, no kidding. I mean, like, yeah. Why wouldn't there be? If you're looking at the Pittsburgh football waters and seeing Chum in there, of course you're going to call him, right? But at the end of the day, if this was a team with a rookie quarterback, if this was a team that was waiting to draft a rookie quarterback, and had a veteran bridge quarterback that didn't really give the team much of a chance to win a playoff game, a division, a playoff game, a playoff run, TJ Watt might be much more vocal in saying, I want out of here. Okay. Myles Garrett did, right? Myles Garrett, prior to the Super Bowl, said, I want out. He came on this show and said it.
To your face.
To my face.
To your face.
In the face. That was two Super Bowls ago. This year was, you know, you to were, my face.
You were scarred by that, too, for a little bit.
Because, you know, I'm always glass half full. I'm an optimist. I like saying yes to people. That's
you're a pleaser.
I'm a pleaser. I'm a guy who wants to be happy and everyone happy around me. Honestly, that's my default. And so for a guy to basically say, when I say, what do you say to people who say this isn't a money play? It's like, it is not.
It might not have been.
Yada, 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 yada. He got $40 million a year, and thus his concerns about winning a championship with a potentially rookie quarterback or bridge quarterback that doesn't really give your chance much of a team much of a chance to win a division, go on a playoff run, win a playoff game, go on a playoff run. Cleveland might prove us all wrong. They have a two-time coach of the year in Kevin Stefanski there, who last won the award when the quarterback who's in the quarterback room won comeback player of the year just with a nice 7-week heater in Flacco. But Aaron Rodgers is not that bridge quarterback that doesn't give you a chance. Now, I know he hasn't played like the MVP in 3 years for various reasons. But the Steelers think he can, which is why they put the eggs in the basket. And TJ Watt, after you go and get Rodgers, after you go and trade for DK Metcalf and give him the richest contract in Steelers history, at that position. And you go and trade for Jalen Ramsey, who's pretty damn expensive. You give him $1.5 million raise. Welcome to the team. And you bring in Jonnu Smith and triple his salary. Here's a $12 million deal. Welcome to the team. You're only making four, now you're making 12. You go and get Darius Slay.
Big play.
You'd run it back with Cam Hayward, friend of the program. You draft not a quarterback in the first round. You draft a defensive tackle because that is an area of need. You do all of this to win now. And TJ Watt is not going to walk. Because the Steelers tell him, you're done now. I can't see that. I just don't see it. It would be the silliest thing to do. Because of what he means to the team, what he means to the city, what he means to those fans, but most importantly, again, what he means to this team. They're a different team on defense. They're a different team, period, when he's not out there. In the same way that his brother was plugged into the fans there in Houston, any sack by him sent the Texans fans into a frenzy. The same thing happens here with Pittsburgh. He's the king of the trifecta, the sack, force, fumble, and recovery. That's the guy, he's a game wrecker. Even if he is on the back nine and showing a little bit of a downward slide, if that is your evaluation of him. I cannot imagine the Steelers let him walk. And they'll figure it out. I just hope for everyone involved that midnight strikes in the next few weeks. I would be stunned if they say, we're trading you. After all of this, we can't figure it out. We can't find a number. We cannot in any way, shape, or form sign you to this contract that you're looking for because down the road, we're going to regret it. When the road and the rubber meeting it is now. So, Google all you want. Look at all those articles about best landing spots for TJ Watt. It's anywhere they play football in the NFL. That's number one. And number two, it's not going to happen. How they get there, I don't know. When they get there, I have no idea. But it makes zero sense to do all of this, make this nest, and then bounce. Again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial in the program. And just to continue on the TJ Watt train here. He is the subject of today's Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer? Ooh. Hit it.
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Is that your final answer?
TJ Watt is today's item, if you will, up for bids on Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer? Which is, again, in case you're just joining us, the construct of the segment as thought up by me in the middle of the night when I couldn't get back to sleep was or is if this candidate never plays another game, another snap, another moment, another at bat, if we do baseball, and we did this, we started this with Judge and Otani, is this person already a Hall of Famer? And because it is from his neck of the woods, TJ Watt plies his craft where this man once upon a time wore a referee shirt and asked somebody, what's your shoe size? In which mall was this, TJ? TJ?
Oh, I never did a mall. I was downtown Pittsburgh, Fifth Avenue.
Downtown. So of course, Very good. So Mr. PA himself, our TJ, starts with TJ Watt. Is he a Hall of Famer? Let me give you his numbers.
Please do.
121 games played. Mm-hmm. His 462 total tackles, 331 of them are solo. 126 of them are for a loss. That's tied for 26th all time with another OG from PA, BG, Brandon Graham. Ahead of Ray Lewis, Warren Sapp, and Rondé Barber. The three of them, what do they have in common? They are in the Hall of Fame. 108 sacks. That's 31st all time. More than Charles Haley, Warren Sapp, Howie Long. What do they have in common? They're enshrined. 33 forced fumbles. That's tied for 20th all time with Reggie White and Charles Woodson ahead of Jared Allen, J.J. Watt, Charles Haley. What do they have in common? They're Hall of Famers to be or in. 23 single-season tackles for loss. That's tied for 10th all-time, and he's got 22.5 sacks in a season. That's tied with Stray for most all-time. He won the Defensive Player of the Year award in 2021. 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro. He is the all-time franchise leader in sacks. We all know who he's on top of that list, and there's a ton of people already in the Hall of Fame there. Second fastest player in NFL history to reach 100 career sacks. He achieved that milestone in just 109 games. The only one faster is Reggie White. Never won a playoff game. He is a 3-time Deacon Jones Award winner, which means he's led the league in sacks 3 times, including once again that time he tied Stray's record. Your first, T.J. Jefferson. Is T.J. Watt a Hall of Famer right now?
All right, I guess right off the bat, you gave us some great stats. Let's look at the negativity here. Just longevity, look at the length of the career. That'll be a strike against him. Postseason success, some people may hold that against him. There's only downsides I see. But everything else, Rich, with all the stats from 2019 to 22, this man was pretty dominant, Chris, in terms of sacks, pressures, run defense, and takeaways. He has comparable stats with Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, and Jared Allen, who are Hall of Famers. Based upon everything you said, Rich, and the fact that in 2017, as I'm watching the draft, and the Dallas Cowboys have the 28th pick,
oh boy.
And I sat here and said, J.J. Watt's brother's here. We should probably get him. And what did we do? We took a guy from Michigan, Taco Charlton, so that, that firmly established that T.J. was going to have a great career because we didn't take him. I'm going to say yes. If T.J. Watt never played another down based upon all of his accolades and achievements, he would be Hall of Famer. Plus, he's got the Hall of Fame name, TJ. Let's go.
Nicely done. His rookie season is the only year in which he's not made a Pro Bowl. He's entering his 9th season in the NFL. Christopher.
Man, this is a good one. This is a tough one. Like you said, doesn't have the longevity, 8 years. Didn't play. He missed a bunch of games in 2022. That's his lowest sack total, 5.5, other than his rookie season of 7. But like you said, Rich, still made the Pro Bowl. In 2022, he has had a dominant stretch. He has all the accolades, 4-time AP first team All Pro. He's been top 4 in Defensive Player of the Year voting 5 times. He won it in 2021. You mentioned some of those guys he has comparable stats to: Dwight Freeney, Jared Allen, Robert Mathis. They only have him by about, 15 or so sacks.
Yeah.
But
longer careers,
TJ, and longer careers, and TJ Watt has more accolades than all of those guys. None of them won, I don't believe, Defensive Player of the Year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he gets in on the first ballot, maybe not even the second. But if he did hang it up, TJ Watt, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'll make it a clean sweep. 50 passes defensed as well. I don't think he was running many routes with the receivers or running backs. 7 interceptions. I mean, he's just a game wrecker.
The forced fumbles thing, too. You mentioned the trifecta that he's so good at. Sack, forced fumble, then ends up recovering the fumble. He's so good at that. Led the league in sacks 3 times. In my opinion, he does have the single season sack record at 22.5. Strahan's is kind of a joke. We know how he got that record. He's got it all. He is a complete pass rusher. Of the first and highest order.
Yeah, I mean, we know how Strahan, got the last sack. Like, there's 21.5 other ones that,
Yeah, maybe.
That were legit.
Maybe, but.
No, but I understand. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how the Warren Sapp Michael Strahan weekly segment, the Sapp Strahan segment on NFL Network on Bucks Cam and Giants Cam was born, because Sapp called out Strahan for that, that gimme sack that Favre gave him, the cookie, and Strahan went back at him, and he reached out and they agreed to do something together, and it was great. It was a great segment. But at any rate, how many times did I mention Reggie White's name in giving you his bona fides? T.J. Watt is a Hall of Famer. Another reason why the Steelers like collecting them. They don't like letting them go. Another reason why I don't think T.J. Watt's going anywhere. They're going to figure this thing out. honestly. Of all the franchises in the NFL who respect their history and, you know, pay it heed and also pay for past performances on occasion and also know what time it is with a level head. You may say that what they're doing is very un-Steelers-like by churning through quarterbacks of veterans and not find, like they tried with Kenny Pickett, I guess, but they're still churning for the next Big Ben to build around for 10 plus years. And they're making trades that you don't normally see. And they're making moves that are very un-Steelers-like. What would be crazy is them not doing the level-headed thing here. So TJ Watt is, in fact, the latest member of the Hall of Fame, thanks to us, and who wants to be a Hall of Famer. All right, let's take a break here. Sam Amick of The Athletic will join us next. What is going on with Damian Lillard? Why did it happen? And what is going on with the rest of the new league year hoopla? Sam Amick of The Athletic coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What if I told you you can take you and your family and your friends to the ballpark with such low price tickets, you can invest more in buying food and drinks, merchandise, and easily, on top of all of it, get a larger group to come with you? That's where Game Time Tickets comes in, the official ticketing partner of The Rich Eisen Show. Browse through that Game Time app and automatically you'll see features that become your favorites. Last minute tickets, zone deals. You see views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection. And the best part about it is you see your entire total up front, so no surprise fees hit you at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code EISEN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel. The radio audience will return shortly, and that's when we'll bring in Sam Amick of The Athletic, who I could see on the Zoom is settling into his chair.
Yes, sir.
You know, so actually, if he's ready right now, let's bring him on right now. Sam Amick of The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen. Good to see you, Sam. How are you?
What's up, Sam?
Good morning, Rich. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's up, Sam?
What is that picture behind your left shoulder? That is an old school Forum shot right there? Yeah, right
that
there.
That would
yeah,
be yeah. The Forum shot with one Lou Alcindor and one Wilt Chamberlain.
Wow.
At Whoa. The tip-off. We got Lou Buck style, Wilt filling that Lakers role before Kareem came to town.
Before Kareem came. That's how long ago. Dang. That is neat stuff right there, man. That is neat stuff.
That's up your alley, Rich. I know we both kind of go deep on the, all things Lakers. But yeah, it is old school. Right. I love that shot.
I do love old school stuff. That's back when that's when the Lakers could only dream of being worth $10 billion. Right, Sam? Right back.
Yes, back that's in that when, day. When Dr. Buss got himself a good discount on the organization, that ended up paying off pretty well.
Right. So is what would you say? Yesterday obviously was a massive burst of activity, but is that it, or we got more to come, or you think that was the big peak, if you will?
I mean, it was a peak. It was a peak. I didn't see it. It's always fun when we've had a bunch of stunners in the past year. You know, we mentioned Lakers, none bigger than the Luka trade. But, you know, Tom Thibodeau getting fired, Taylor Jenkins getting fired right before the season, Michael Malone, Calvin Booth. I feel like if you had a metric for shock factor, you know, this season and now this offseason are up there. The Miles Turner, Damian Lillard deal with Milwaukee, which we wrote about a lot today, is incredible just in terms of the risk factor. And again, Six Degrees of Lakers, you know, when you are a franchise like the Bucks, you don't have the luxury of feeling like if a guy like Giannis leaves town, then the next star is around the corner. That's how the Lakers get to move, not a team like the Bucks. And so you see John Horst, their GM, go all in and cut Damian Lillard, and you know the incredible cost that comes with that. So yesterday was a peak. You know, where are we going next? I was just on the phone with a guy from a team, just kind of chuckling about how, on the one hand, you have high profile stuff happening. LeBron James situation still a little bit worth monitoring, but free agency wise, you know, the chuckle that we shared was like the DeAndre Ayton sweepstakes are front and center today. Right. And that is a word that we should not be attaching to a player like DeAndre Ayton, even though he's a former number one pick. So the way that things have changed in terms of free agency not being the end all be all this time of year, and the trades actually being the thing that kind of caused the fireworks is a bit of a shift.
Sam Amick of The Athletic, senior NBA writer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience returned during your, I guess, opening statement I asked you for, but in regards to the new league year. Let's start with what happened with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers together, two teams that plain don't like each other. So obviously Miles Turner no longer being with the Pacers and going to the Bucks, and the way that they opened the purse strings for him, and also for Lillard to just be sent packing, was really shocking. Sam, you want to tackle this however you wish, the genesis of it and the way it all played out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, the genesis, Rich, is not to go too macro, but John Horst is a guy, the Bucks GM, who came up through the Pistons organization initially, moves over to the Bucks and rises through the ranks and becomes their GM eventually. But along the way, when Giannis is 18 and coming to town, you know, from Greece, and we all know that incredible story, John is one of the main people kind of bringing him into America, literally helping him to learn how to drive. And I highlight all of that because it's like you have this deep personal connection where John is very committed to not losing Giannis Antetokounmpo. And now for three, you know, consecutive times in very different ways, he has doubled down and tripled down on bold, daring, risky moves to convince Giannis not to leave. The first one was going out and getting Drew Holiday. That paid off. That was the 2021 championship. When that seemed a little bit stale, when Giannis was getting antsy and sending signals that maybe he would think about going elsewhere, then blockbuster move with Damian Lillard. That didn't work out like they'd hoped, but it did show Giannis that, you know, we are not messing around here. We're going to try to do big things. This one, though, we all thought they were completely stuck. You know, Dame's Achilles tear combined with his contract just was brutal, because even going into the summer before his injury, we've reported this, you know, they were going to talk to Dame about whether or not he still wanted to be in Milwaukee. And one of their avenues out of their latest kind of morass was going to be trading Damian Lillard for the next guy. And Dame was likely going to be fine with that as long as he went somewhere that he was happy with, because he at times was struggling in Milwaukee off the court. He was far from his kids, all these things. So they do it again. They go after Miles Turner. They owe Dame $113 million, I think it is. Mm-hmm. That gets stretched over 5 years for the Bucks. That's dead money, around, you know, almost 25 a year on their books. But Miles Turner comes their way. They get to replace Brook Lopez with a guy who's 8 years younger and who does a lot of the same stuff at a higher level. So it's about as daring and drastic as it gets, and we'll see how Giannis feels about it in the end.
Well, I mean, the fact that Giannis was, you know, it's crazy, man. God bless you and what you do for a living in the NBA and all your colleagues who follow it. I mean, we go to social media, right? Like for a window into somebody's soul and their thought process, and his, you know, post of Brooke Lopez in the championship locker room and him wondering what's going on with his post. And then we find out that he's upset about Lillard no longer being there. And the question I have is it a roster concern or just he didn't like the way, as Chris Haynes, our, your colleague, reported that maybe Lillard found out, like how we all did when it became public, and that's what Giannis was upset with. What's your two cents on the Giannis thoughts, Sam?
So, I mean, your social media point is on point. It is hilarious. You know, that Brooke Lopez picture that Giannis put out, that came right after they lost Brooke, and it's a, you know, the subtitle you can see is, I don't know what's going on right now, man. And it's funny, but telling and insightful. But then obviously, like we said, they replaced Brooke. We have not got another social media post to indicate how Giannis feels about Miles Turner. I have not confirmed that Giannis is unhappy. If I'm being honest with you, knowing Giannis fairly well, I feel like that might be just political messaging because he loves Dame and wants to make sure that Dame feels supported. I did report in depth yesterday that Dame is not upset. He is elated. And the funniest thing is, to go back to your social media point, Rich, even our jobs are strange. So I write that Dame is elated, you know, very, very, you know, very good source on that in terms of knowing where his head is at, and highlighted the fact that he's going to get paid the same amount of money the next 2 years. He can literally pick his spot if he wants to. He can sign a minimum deal with any contender. That is a hell of a place to be in when you're in your mid 30s and you've never won a championship. But then I look at Instagram this morning, and Dame shared a video that had all of that reporting. So you do kind of go, all right, clearly we're good. You know, he's endorsing these ideas. But as it relates to Giannis, I think, okay, the Dame thing is now settled, that he's happy, he's going to be on his way. I don't know exactly where Giannis is at. I do think, basketball-wise, I see what the Bucks are thinking here. And I see, if you're them, why you feel like, listen, even before they got Miles Turner, because of the Tyrese Halliburton injury and the way that it devastated the Pacers, because of the Jason Tatum injury and what it did to the Celtics and all the trades since then, the Cavs coming up short, the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau, all these East contenders that were seemingly in the Bucks' way had taken a major step down. If you were the Bucks, even before you get Miles Turner, you're looking at Giannis going, all right, where exactly are you going, at least in the East, where you think you're in a better place to at least be in the mix? Because you alluded to it earlier, the Bucks and Pacers rivalry was such that you already kind of knew that if Giannis is watching those finals, he's sitting there thinking, man, you got to be kidding me. Like, we're better than this team. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no way that he was scared of that Pacers team. And now that Pacers team doesn't exist. So not only could you sell him on the deteriorated East, now you can sell him on, hey, guess what we did? We went and we actually stole from the Pacers and we got one of their main guys and we think that you should rock with him. But again, we're going to have to see how Giannis moves in the next couple of weeks.
And it's kind of amazing how things kind of connect, Sam. I was talking about this on the show yesterday. You know, Josh Kroenke of the Nuggets, right, makes reference to how we're all one Achilles injury away from trading our best player. He mentions number 15. Everyone's hair goes on fire. Why would he just even put out into the ether the concept of trading Jokic, right? But then we see Damian Lillard blow out his Achilles and Jason Tatum's blew out his Achilles. And his comment about Jokic was right before Halliburton blew out his Achilles. And all three teams make big moves because of these Achilles injuries and how it affects their immediate future. Now, obviously, you know, the Celtics wanted to get out of the second apron and they're realizing we don't, you know, really without Tatum have a shot to win it all next year. We might as well do it. And the Pacers, I guess, didn't want to pay any apron. They didn't want any apron at all. So they move on. But the Bucks are like, yeah, let's pay this guy off and make a move. I think these Achilles injuries all affected everything, you know, minus, I guess, Durant, who I guess might be the George Washington of playoff Achilles injuries. You know what I mean? And on this day and age, it's kind of wild when you think about it.
It is,
Sam.
No, it's crazy. And I think there's a CBA component to this, Rich, and the fact that the pressure that this particular CBA is applying to teams and shortening runways, where those Achilles injuries are forcing you to immediately look at your other core players and ask yourself, how much time and patience do we have from those guys? And if the answer is not much, then you got a kind of fight or flight type decision to make. Are we going to, you know, hit the eject button and do, you know, what Boston is doing to a degree? Or are we going to do what the Bucks are doing, which is just double down again and find another way? But in the kind of way that you might be paying for 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now. I mean, they gave up, you know, their number one asset, you know, there. So it's, you know, you mentioned the Nuggets. They are an interesting team in this discussion because, you know, they have gone all in for a lot of the Jokic era, but then they emptied their cupboard in terms of draft assets, are already paying the price, or at least were in the past couple of years, because the lack of depth was directly tied to some of the swings and misses they had previously. And they have been teetering to make sure that a guy like Joker has enough around him. And that's without the type of devastating injuries that we're talking about here. Jamal Murray's had some, but you know, nothing of the caliber that these other teams have dealt with lately. So it's just, there's like a knife's edge component to team building in the NBA right now. Like, it's extremely precarious. You know, even the Thunder, who look like they are on track to do this thing for the next decade, potentially, you know, I would say they need to live in the moment and realize that you never know what might happen.
Sam Amick, a few minutes left with the senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Let's cycle back, you know, tongue-in-cheek reference to the DeAndre Ayton sweepstakes. And again, social media, people going nuts, trying to read into things that either make sense to read into. But, you know, Ayton showing up from what appears to be a nice vacation to Jamaica, fresh off of the PJ at the FBO there, maybe in Kingston. I don't know. But wearing a Dodger hat. And everyone's like, oh, there we go. Lakers need him.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, honestly, listen, we know his... of his troubles, and now a journey. He's close to journeyman. I don't know, but he's teetering on that edge. All kidding aside, don't you think Luka and LeBron would be like, let's go, let's get him here in purple and gold? Don't you think, Sam?
Yeah, I think Luka for sure. LeBron, I mean, you don't know if we have time to get into that.
Please,
one. Please,
Sam, go for it, because
a lot of question marks.
It's all tied together. It's all tied together
it
right
is.
Now.
LeBron's on his own, not quite an island. It's like a peninsula right now.
Nice.
You know, he's gazing across the coast at Laker Nation, deciding what he thinks. The Luka thing, for sure. We talk about some of the background connections that sometimes come into play. Luka has the same agent as DeAndre Ayton, Bill Duffy of WME Sports. That matters, I think. All signs right now point to very likely DeAndre being with the Lakers. Not official by any means. I literally just glanced at my phone to make sure nobody gave me an update.
Nice.
I had not seen the social media post with the Dodger hat. And at this point, when it comes to that aspect of what we do, it's not conspiracy theory stuff. Most of the time, these players know exactly what they're doing. So that probably is a sign. You know, last I checked, DeAndre is not from Los Angeles. You know, not sure why he's a big-time Dodger fan. if he does come, it'll be an interesting one. Because the Lakers, man, they are – you talk about the knife's edge and calculated risks. They're the opposite of the Bucks right now. They have refused to go all in because they continue to have kind of dream scenarios down the road. They are keeping their eyes on the Giannis's and the Jokic's, and they don't want to you know, give up stuff right now that could help them down the road to make a run at those guys. And that's all well and good, but you have to make sure that Luka signs his extension in August. You got to make sure he's feeling good about things. And again, you got to not take anything for granted in terms of what's in front of you right now, the next season and a half. So, I mean, DeAndre could fit fine. Right now, he has had one of the more troubled careers that we've ever seen from a number one pick. You know, it's not completely bust territory, but man, it's not great. You know, I mean, our Jason Quick at The Athletic just had a story the other day, pulling the curtain back a little bit on why Portland decided to do what they did. And it wasn't the most flattering stuff. So I think with that in mind, if he goes to the Lakers, a little bit like Luka. I know it's weird to put them in the same sentence. They could both have that chip on their shoulder, time to rehab my image and my reputation type energy, and maybe it turns out to be a good fit. And the Lakers are desperate. I mean, they got, you know, Jake LaRavia, but they're mostly vacant at that center spot right now. They need something desperately. And if he could turn things around with them, that would be great for them.
So before I let you go, explain your LeBron's on a peninsula comment. And I guess that, you know, if you can also weave in your interpretation of Rich Paul's statement that read, if you didn't, you know, when I saw Rich Paul's statement placed in front of me, I was saying, if you didn't give me the context about whether LeBron's staying or going, just reading that statement, I'd say this was him saying goodbye. So what's your 2 cents
it
on
might
all
be,
of that?
And we're not there yet. I mentioned the other day that the tone of it, you know, only time will tell if it was a goodbye letter. It might end up aging like it was one when we look back on it. I don't know what to make of it. I think he's surveying options, but he doesn't have many. It goes back to the CBA. It's not as simple even for a guy like LeBron, excuse me, to wave his magic wand and go where he wants. I'm going to steal something from some of my buddies at ESPN, the Hoop Collective guys on their podcast, where they talk about actions over words. And it's something that stuck in my head recently. The Lakers, as I reported the other day, they did not discuss any contract situation with LeBron that went beyond this season. That is the action that speaks volumes about how they see him right now, which is their ideal scenario was going to be that he announced his retirement and allowed them to celebrate him for the entire year. And that would have been the cleanest, easiest way for this relationship to come to an end. His desire to continue playing, which is obviously his right, will potentially be problematic, where they just have to reach a point where, you know, they can't continue doling out $50+ million in the kind of way to him. So that's where I think he's looking at everything, monitoring, and we'll see where it goes. But it does feel a little crunchy and dicey at the moment.
Screw it. Let's just start something. Player coach for the Knicks. What do you think, Sam? They need they could use LeBron. They need a coach.
Mike Brown's not happy with you right now, Richie. No. He's getting near the finish line.
Is this it? Have we found one? Is it Mike Brown? Have we found one?
I think we're getting there. I mean, okay. We'll see. He's supposed to meet with James Dolan potentially today, trying to get clarity on that. Right. He is the clear front runner, and it does seem like all the energy from the front office and the organization is headed in Mike's direction. There's still been some other names attached. James Borrego, obviously Taylor Jenkins was in the mix, but Mike seems pretty far out ahead, but the James Dolan factor looms, and we'll see what Jim is feeling.
The looming Dolan factor. That might be a good fantasy team name right there. Write that one down. Sam, thanks for the time. Always appreciate our chats and your time. Thanks, bud.
Of course. Thank you, Rich.
Everybody,
thanks,
you got it. Everyone check out Sam Amick and all of his writings. A senior NBA writer for The Athletic here on The Rich Eisen Show.
With a Venmo debit card, you can Venmo more than just your friends. You can use your balance in so many ways. You can Venmo everything. Need gas? You can Venmo this. How about snacks? You can Venmo that. Your favorite band's merch? You can Venmo this. Or their next show? You can Venmo that. Visit Venmo.me/debit to learn more.
You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo
the Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Card may be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Venmo purchase restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We've done this before with you.
Yeah.
I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay. Okay.
First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane
yes.
to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
Even if it's a nice destination where it's a nice hotel and you're set up?
No, 14 hours on a plane, you can't even breathe. Come on.
So what would be the distance from your house that you would
An hour and a half by car. That's it. No plane. You don't get on planes for weddings.
Right.
Okay, out of the question.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
You're going over to somebody's house.
Okay.
All right, let's say the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This happened to one of our producers,
sure.
Ken Tulo, okay?
Okay.
They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
All right, well, we did this on Seinfeld.
You did?
Yeah, the marble rye.
Well, okay.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
You bring it over. Do they know you brought it over?
Yes, they do.
Well, if they know you brought it over, then you can't take it.
But what if nobody's tried it? You know, it's not like a bottle of wine. Bottle of wine could be savored later on.
It's
perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you could sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, the table and there's no note.
Yeah.
That's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
The problem is, though, Larry, is you never know what was looking. The eye in the sky
may
catch it.
Well, that's the gamble, yeah. But if the host sees it, you can't take it.
All right, the last one for you, Larry, LD. Shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane taking
I have a big problem with it, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on, okay? You know, don't make yourself, it's not your house, all right? You're outside, you're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of mints, keep your shoes on.
So those who take their shoes off with shorts on and then put their socked feet up on the bulkhead?
Oh, God almighty. No, no, God. Oh, God. That is out. Yes.
Happy birthday to Larry David.
Oh, nice.
Here on July 2nd, LD. Happy
this
birthday.
Is a dream.
God bless it. I got to tell you, the number of times that people are like, I don't care. Love watching your show, whatever. And they mention the guests, and Larry's like one, if not 1A, you know. So happy birthday to LD. Ashley David, his wife, who was on this program because she directed this documentary on pickleball. She's the guest on Women's Sports Now that you can check out right here on Roku tomorrow. Recording it later today. So that'll be a great chat on Women's Sports Now, along with also the Commissioner's Cup champion, Indiana Fever. So that'll be on Women's Sports Now later on today. Anything stand out to you from the Sam Amick chat? Christopher Brockman, anything stand out to you?
The Lakers never really had a conversation about LeBron after this season. I saw Wendy say that this morning, too. The Lakers are viewing him as an expiring contract. So why would they not trade him?
Very interesting.
And Dave McMenamin reporting that four teams have already reached out to inquire about LeBron's availability.
Oh, what would he be worth?
I don't think as much as you
Get
think.
Out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here.
I don't think as much as you
Get
would expect.
Out of here.
Why?
Wasn't he? I don't know the numbers. All I know is I had him on my fantasy team last year, and he was
he was good.
Dynamite.
He was good. Second round, I think he was second team All-NBA last year. You know, probably, I imagine he was 26, 7, and 7.
Where was Desmond Bane?
About his average.
Was he a second team All-NBA, Desmond Bane?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And I understand he's way younger than LeBron. I get it.
Desmond Bane was 19, 6, and 5.
Okay. And he went for how many draft picks?
Four, five, and
I don't care if LeBron is, 40 gajillion years old. It doesn't matter.
LeBron is old. That's true.
He immediately puts your team on a map.
That 39%
that they may not be on. Immediately.
In terms of basketball or just eyeballs?
All of it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you interpret what I'm saying. Value. He brings value.
LeBron was 24, 8, and 8.
Get out of here. I mean, honestly, one of the top players in the NBA, understand he doesn't have a lot of road in front of him. who would be the teams to go get him? Like, who would be the Heat? Would the Heat want him back? Would he want to go to the Heat?
Probably not. I don't think the Heat are in a position to contend for an NBA title.
Name me a team that would reach out for him.
Cavs.
Yeah.
Cavs, yes.
Just to kind of put a bow on everything.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know.
That's a good one. Who else?
Knicks would be hilarious.
I just don't think the... I don't know. That would be amazing,
LeBron,
too.
LeBron, Kat, and Brunson?
Oh. So what? It would have to be Bridges and anybody else not nailed down?
Probably OG and a bunch of picks and others.
Well, I mean, it would definitely have to be Mitchell Robinson.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Well, didn't they just sign Yabusele, right? Didn't they just sign him?
They did.
So, also, I mean,
and Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson, we didn't even talk
about. Right.
That's a nice little
certified bucket getter.
Yeah. Don't push me in the don't trade for LeBron take. Because that's not a bad.
Well, different than saying don't trade combo. For 40-year-old LeBron and 27-year-old Giannis.
Listen, those are two bench players the Knicks traded for that 100% are going to get minutes. Right? Because if they don't make any moves, those guys don't crack the starting lineup, right? Jordan Clarkson's not starting.
He's definitely a six man. He's a six man, like first guy off the bench getting you buckets.
Right. Yeah. So two guys that Thibodeau absolutely would have been forced to play. But it's going to be Mike Brown's team.
Well, according to Ian Begley, the Knicks have checked in on Ben Simmons.
Okay. I mean, these are... Laugh all you want, man.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Go ahead. Okay.
Remember, but LeBron, I'm a Sixers fan.
LeBron in play, huh? That's what you took from Sam Amick's comments?
LeBron I took in that play? The Lakers are viewing him...
As an expiring contract.
A one-year guy, not anything after the next season.
Right, which is why you win now. You got LeBron and Luka. Sign DeAndre Ayton. Win now.
LeBron and Luka, you lost in the first round.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they didn't have anybody rim protecting, brother. I don't know if Ayton's the answer, but he's better than what they currently have. Brian Baumgartner in studio. Hour number two. My top, I guess, power rankings of best non-quarterbacks in the NFL coming up. Still here on the Roku Sports Channel. If everybody's on hold, stay on hold. We're going to take your calls. I promise. I know I said phone calls next, and I didn't take a phone call. That's like Radio 101 of what not to do. You know. Hey,
it's
stay
not
tuned.
A lie.
Thank you.
If you believe it.
Thank you. On Larry David's birthday, you play that. I wonder if he wrote that, Larry. It's not a lie if you believe it.
Seems possible. Brett the Hitman Hart birthday today, TJ.
Also, I believe it is the anniversary of Men in Black hitting theaters.
Oh, I did see that. Love Men in Black.
That's a great one, right?
Great movie.
Another example of, I don't know of a bad movie Will Smith's ever made. Ooh. Or a bad movie that's not because of him, because he's great in it.
You don't really ever have a bad time at a Will Smith movie.
Ever.
Right.
For anything, right? And Tommy Lee Jones. Reminds me, I was thinking, I've got to show The Fugitive to my kids. I think they're now of the age where they would like it.
Man, they might think it's kind of slow.
Why? Come on, it moves, dude. I know RDU90.
We're older people who really like that movie.
I know. I mean,
a 14-year-old, I don't know if is sticking around through Provasic.
I'd have to explain to them, you know, what's the ending could be confusing with Dr. Nichols switching the samples.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. I don't know, bro.
But they've seen Men in Black, yes?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That they have seen. They have seen Men in Black. They would know Tommy Lee Jones as the guy from Men in Black in the same way they would know De Niro as the guy from War on Grandpa, War with Grandpa, which is truly one of Susie.
The first De Niro movie. Susie, you'll never forget your first De Niro movie.
Susie and I have parented well, I like to say, but that is one of our biggest failings.
Well, you couldn't show him Taxi Driver first, for Pete's sake. So,
I know. I don't know. Maybe Meet the Parents could have been a good one.
That could have been a good one. Yeah,
weigh in with De Niro. Like, how do you introduce Robert De Niro to your children?
I think was my first. Was Meet the Parents?
Meet the Parents.
Was it?
Yeah.
Your first
De Niro
movie?
Goodfellas first or anything?
No, I didn't see it until later on.
I think Goodfellas is probably my first.
Yeah, De Niro doesn't have too many kid friends. Like, Analyze This might have been a good one. To introduce De Niro,
that would have been
kids.
Good.
That's a good one.
He does shoot a pillow in therapy. I mean, that's
Listen, I know there's no way around it with him. You know?
Listen, if you would have told me their intro was Sam Rothstein, I would have thought completely different.
No,
about
I know.
You.
So yeah, we couldn't Sam Rothstein. We couldn't have shown him Casino. You know what I mean? This is the way they learned about
that
De Niro.
Is so sad.
And I had to stop the movie and explain to them, which is, as you know, an egregious offense.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.